Welcome back to the Mike Honig Show. Think Wing Radio here on CNN 650 and CNN650.com. Remember, the call-in number, if you want to speak with me or Dr. Mintz, is 713-9650-650. That's 713-9650-650. And I am here with Dr. Stephen Mintz, and today we're talking about the impact of movies on our perceptions of history and how that actually affects how we feel about our country and our politics, etc. Dr. Mintz, war movies are always kind of interesting, not only because of, you know, the battle scenes and the drama and the special effects, but also because of the messages that they send, intentionally or not, usually intentionally. I think one of the things that has fascinated me is how the tenor of movies as they concern our enemies or eventually our former enemies. So, for example, you have movies like The Enemy Below or even Battle of the Bulge, where it's almost like, well, you know, before these guys were just evil, evil, evil. But, you know, they really weren't such bad guys. The submarine crew on in the movie The Enemy Below, they're basically just doing their jobs. They're fighting for their country. In the Battle of the Bulge, which actually involved a German general who was eventually, I believe, convicted of war crimes, possibly hanged. But the Robert Shaw character is shown to be a fairly noble officer, very concerned about the welfare of his men, denying officer rations so he knows how far he can push them. I guess that whole thing about how we flip over from one side to another is interesting. Do you have any thoughts on that? Any particular examples that you find particularly intriguing?
War movies are a particularly complicated movie genre because most war movies, except for those made in wars themselves, are actually meant to be anti-war movies. They're meant to be critical of the costs, human and social, aroused by war. And yet, even the most anti-war film also gives you a sense of the valor, the gallantry, the camaraderie, the real heroism of men who are in the most extreme environment imaginable. And this complexity of war movies, I think, is what helps them continually find an audience. So The Hurt Locker, which won the Best Picture Award this past year, I think exemplifies this. It's a pretty traditional war movie. It's meant, I think, to be somewhat critical of the Iraq War, and yet no one can come away from it without feeling a real bond on an emotional level, a real empathy for the men it depicts. And it's a film that does not show us much about our adversary in that conflict. So it's very much like earlier war movies in that sense. So war movies, I think, always send us mixed messages, even when they begin to humanize our enemy. They both repel us from war, but also hold war up as the most extreme example of humans against an environment.
I think one of the most powerful anti-war books and movies that I'm aware of was Johnny Got His Gun.
Yes.
Which I think was supposed to be a World War I veteran, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And boy, you know, especially the book where they can get inside his head more than they can in the movie. I mean, that very powerful, very difficult, very disturbing.
For a much broader audience, Saving Private Ryan tells us amazingly little about World War II or the D-Day invasion. It gives viewers a sense of the look of that, but you're not going to learn much about battlefield strategy. But what you do get from that movie is experience of combat that combat veterans tell one that is the most accurate depiction that they've ever seen.
Yeah,
and so one point that I want to stress is it's very easy to condemn Hollywood films. They mix fact with fiction, they inject romance, they reduce history to a battle of heroes and villains, they have a kind of surface authenticity that belies the compromises they make with reality. All that said, movies give us a sense of the look, the feel, the atmosphere, the experience of the past more than any history book.
I am going to move on to a topic that I think is maybe a little bit more fun and a little less depressing. We have definite visions in our country, and for that matter around the world, about the American Old West, what it was like, what the people were like, what the societies were like. On the other hand, because while I really, really enjoy film, I know something of history, most of what we see in the Old West on film isn't true. Do you have any particular examples of that that you could share with us in terms of mythologies that have become firmly established in the American mind about the Old West that really just weren't like that?
When I was growing up, every boy I knew wanted to be a cowboy.
Oh, Hopalong Cassidy.
That is, there were about 40 primetime Westerns on in the early 1960s. And it's a great shock to have grown up and to see the Western largely disappear. Mm-hmm. Once every couple of years, a Western will appear again. But for the most part, that genre is gone and lost. Insofar as it survives at all, it's been transplanted into outer space.
Yes.
I mean, it's a very odd thing to see the central story of the American past, the central aspect of our self-image, disappear in my own lifetime. Westerns, the real Western era existed for a surprisingly short period of time. It really only existed in the 1860s and 1870s and disappeared by the mid-1880s. The era of the whaling ship lasted much longer than the era of the cowboy on the open range. And yet, no one makes movies about harpooners.
And, well, except for Moby Dick, which is a great movie.
In our vision, we all drive Mustangs, and we all wear cowboy boots and cowboy hats, and we think of ourselves still as cowboys. And it's not a mistake, I think, that the most popular music in America is country and Western music, that is the music of the cowboy. It says a lot about us. What movies did is they both constructed a myth about the West, and then later they began to deconstruct or criticize that myth. Because the Western, the reason it's died, for the most part, is many people, first of all, they don't like the slow pace of Westerns. They don't like those vast vistas that so attracted earlier viewers. And they view the Western as inherently racist and sexist and Eurocentric. But for many immigrants, the West was the representative of the true America, and masculinity was really defined in the Western, the strong, laconic, soft-spoken hero who acted with his fists rather than with his voice. For many Americans, that was what a man was, embodied, of course, by John Wayne.
Well, we are going to be taking a short break, and I am talking to Dr. Stephen Mintz, historian and author. We will be back to the Mike Koenig Show, Think Wing Radio, here on CNN 650 and CNN650.com.